Okay, Dan McKay recording here. It's Friday, October 18th, 2024, and Lynn Murphy's going to tell us a story.
Well, when it became clear the GAE Gala was folding, some of us started thinking about what's going to happen to all the accumulated papers that GAE Gala had, and that was both the organizational papers of the group and also the business papers relating to our operation of the Rumors Club on Gottigan Street. And so we thought, well, those papers have to come out. Because where the papers, of course, were, we had an office on the club premises, and the what had been done over lo these many years was there were two file cabinets, and whenever the file cabinets became so full that it was hard to get anything new into them, then somebody, and I do not know who, possibly the manager of the day, would go in and kind of weed out the things that were not of immediate use and put them into boxes. And there was an area under the upstairs level of the club where it was kind of like it looked like an ordinary floor, but underneath was this storage area about 3 feet high, perhaps, and the boxes would just be kind of slung in there, and the shortest employee would be sent in to kind of move them around so that there'd be enough room for the next couple of boxes. And so there were boxes and boxes of this stuff, like, I'm just making this number up, but say 15 or 20 boxes, plus the contents of the two file cabinets from the office, which were the current records of GAE Gala and of Rumors at the time that we folded. And so we said, but this stuff is historically important. We got to save it. And who knows who will buy the building, and it'll mean nothing to them. They'll probably just burn it. So Jane Kansas, who was the chair at the time, and whoever was the manager of the club, which I have no idea, and a couple of people from the GAE board came up one afternoon and hauled all those boxes out from under, and they were loaded into a truck and taken to a secret location, which was the basement of my house on Gottigan Street. But we were a little secretive about it because you never know when somebody might take advantage of the opportunity to destroy materials or the houses of the people who have the materials or whatever. So that was it. So we had a volunteer crew. I can't remember where the truck came from. It might have been volunteered to. And all that stuff was put in my basement. And then over the next couple of years, we went through the papers. Now, bearing in mind, we knew that the original arrangement of materials is very important to archivists. So we went through, we threw out duplicates. We threw out mouse turds. Did we reorganize anything? The only thing I think that we reorganized was whenever we came across copies of, was it called the Gazette at that point?
Yeah.
Of the Gazette, we took them and inserted them in chronological order so that there was as full as possible a run of the newspaper of the Gay Alliance for Equality. And so every so often in the course of the winter and sometimes the spring, we would get a little crew together and go down to the basement with cups of coffee in hand and go through a few boxes and write up a little finding aid as we went along. And I have left out a very important part of this, which was that at the last or second last meeting of Gala, a motion was passed that these papers would become not the property of exactly, would be passed over to the stewardship of Atlantic History and Archives Network, and Anne would see to it that the materials were in due course deposited with a reputable archival entity. And so that, in fact, is what happened. There was a person at Nova Scotia Archives and Records Management, although I'm not sure that was their actual title at that time, but a person there who was interested in the materials. And so when we had them fairly well in order and the boxes all labeled, we called her and said, "So we have all these things. Would you like them?" And I believe that they paid for the truck this time and came and got them and hauled them away to NSRM. And Jim McSwain and I think, oversaw the transfer of these papers to NSRM. And I should mention that the third person who worked on this transfer project on behalf of AHAN was Rob Thompson, who has since died. But the three of us were the subcommittee of AHAN that took part in the handover. And anything that NSRM did not want, they gave back to us, and in due course they became stored in my very small storage cube in my apartment when I moved out of the house, following which a good many of these materials made their way to the Dalhousie Archives, who had different now, I'm not sure what the wording is. Different listings of the kinds of things that that they would accept. For instance, they did not accept any full-size marching banners at NSRM, but the Dalhousie Archives was quite willing to accept them and indeed has them now. The ones that were among the materials extra. extracted from Rumors Club storage area.
Now, speaking of extracted, I heard a story that you guys actually had to sneak in there because technically you were not allowed to
remove anything from the premises.
So what's that story?
Well, I think we were a little cautious in case the new owners or the I don't know who it would be, the bank perhaps had taken over, in case they would object to it. Because legally speaking, really, the contents of the building also became the property of... But on the other hand, we were working down to an official closing of the building after which we would have to pass over all our keys, and that had not yet happened because we had keys to get in, or we had Jane who had keys and she let us in. So it was a case of we knew we were on perhaps slightly dodgy legal status, but on the other hand, we didn't think that they would care about our taking organizational papers out, not really.
Now, when that motion was passed at the last or second last GAE Gala meeting, saying that AHAN would be taking the materials, did AHAN actually exist? Or did you guys just make it up on the spot?
Oh, no, AHAN existed.
So it had existed for some time before or the week before?
No, a couple of years.
All right. Was it created for a particular event or collection?
Not for a particular event, no. But I can't remember why it was created, but it was in existence, and it had a very small membership of 6 or 7 people. In fact, it had existed for quite a while, because there was a guy, whose name I can't remember, who was very interested in these things, and he lived in Halifax, and after a while he moved to New Brunswick, and sort of kept in contact with people. I don't know that we all had computers then yet.
It was Francis Young.
Was it? Okay. And so AHAN had existed for, I guess, several years. Hadn't done much, but existed. Maybe had done a couple of workshops. But I wouldn't like to say that because I'm not sure about it.
Okay.
Robin might remember more than I would.
Now, the banners, obviously, do you remember? Because the banners wouldn't have fit in boxes, so they couldn't have fit, like, in the boxes under the floor.
Oh, of course they fit in boxes. We didn't care about folding them.
They weren't on poles. They were just folded up.
They were folded up, yeah.
Very good.
Not proper archival storage by any means.
Okay. Perfect. That's great, Lynn. Thank you very much for that story.
Okay. You're welcome.